You're listening to the Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in a physical set of circumstances where you needed to be rescued? Like if somebody didn't get you, like, it was going to go south really quick. Where you needed to be rescued, where you were so overwhelmed, someone had to come and save your day. You know, I remember when, it was about 5 years ago, my family and I went to the 11 Point River, which is a tradition for me anyway. I love the 11 Point River. I love canoeing. Any outdoorsy people in the world out there, I'm telling you. I mean, I love it. And the 11 Point River to me is the most beautiful river in the state of Missouri. It's an awesome, we got a lot of stuff to put a canoe in. Anybody know what the name Missouri means? Big canoe. That's what the word Missouri means. How many didn't know that? Look at that. Look at what we're learning already in the house of the Lord. Amen. I mean, I didn't know that either, but it was really amazing. And but this is the 11 Point. This right here actually feeds the 11 Point. This is one of the springs. It's called Greer Spring. And I love Greer Springs. It's the second largest spring in the state of Missouri. Absolutely. I mean, I can't even tell you the millions of gallons that flow from this particular spot. It's a huge behemoth of a sight to see, and it's just a trout, man. It's just an awesome place to be. And it was about 5-6 years ago, my family and I went on a kind of like just a little weekend vacation getaway type experience, and we made it a two-day float one night. And so we canoed out maybe, I don't know, 10 miles or so until we got tired and looked for a sandbar that night and ended up camping there. And then the second half of our journey was kind of like the more rapid path. It was the Whitecaps, and it was a more adventurous place on the river. I absolutely loved it. And when we were on it, my wife, Missy, was with our son, Micah, our oldest son, who was 12 years old at the time, and I had Javen with me, who was 10 years old at the time. And again, we were just having a blast. Javen and I were leading the way when all of a sudden we're making these turns, and Missy is just not paying attention to anything except the camera in front of her face. I mean, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. You're in the middle of the Ozark Irish wilderness. There's just cliffs left and right. It's awesome. And she's just snapping pictures, not paying attention to what it is she should be doing. And Missy's rolling anchor, which means you got to pay attention to the turns, because Javen's up there just, you know, in the front. That's your pace person. But Missy's the end. So all of a sudden, we're getting ready to make its turn, and I hear, ah! And I watch Missy and Micah just go flying out of the canoe, and Missy's just flopping around, screaming, coming up out of the water, and I'm over there seeing Javen. I'm like, man, we got to roll off. So we roll off here to this side sandbar area, and I'm looking back at Missy, and she's just, Jesse! Jesse! Help! I'm drowning! And I'm just freaking. I'm just looking over. I'm like, what are you doing? And some of you are looking at me like, why wouldn't you go and rescue her? I said, Missy, you're in 2 feet of water. Just stand up. Just stand up. She's like, oh, and just stands up. Now, Micah, though, when he fell out, the canoe went off to the deep part of the river. So he's barely hanging on by one arm, just floating down the river all by himself, going, dad, you know. And I'm just like, I'm coming. So I'm like flying in the river. I get him and was able to save both of them there. Man, it was really an awesome time. I said all that to say, I mean, I'm a hero. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I say that with humility. You know, in all seriousness, I believe that it's hard to find anything worse than someone screaming for help when they're overwhelmed in water. You know, we had some pretty incredible events in the context of attendance in the past with our anniversary services. You know, Journey turns 9 years old June 7th of this year. Next year we'll turn 10, and I can count. Amen. And every anniversary, like, we used to do these things called Journey One events. We're actually going to do it next year when we turn 10 back at El Shaddai Ranch. And we did this event. And some have asked, like, why we haven't done it. The calendars have always conflicted with DARE. DARE has done a camp, and it's kind of overtaken our weekend. And they utilize a lot more of the calendar space, and they get a lot more revenue into the camp. I totally understand the reason why we weren't able to be part of it. But we did reserve it, and we're set to do some great stuff next year. However, I think it was when we were 5 years old, we had about 1,000 people a part of this particular event, because, you know, it's rare that we get to see all of each other. You know, some of you missed the 9 a.m. service and so on and so forth. We don't get to meet everybody. And so it was a really special event, but I didn't know this happened, but I heard this happen because I was somewhere else on the campus. But they said one of our kids that were there, again, a lot of people, it's this big lake, and one of the kids kind of ventured out. She's like 6 years old. Ventured out in the lake a little too far and became overwhelmed in the water and started screaming for help. And the mom sees, and mom can't swim. So it was a really sad, dangerous situation. Well, we had this guy in our church, Scott Steffen, who heard this cry. And I'm telling you, this dude straight up turned into Hasselhoff, like, just shirts, you know, and just torpedoed in the water toward this girl. And right when she goes under, he comes up and gets her. And it was this, I mean, what a horrible situation, what a scary situation to be part of, but what a fantastic rescue that was able to happen because somebody heard the cries of this help in the water. And I remember talking to Scott after that, who was able to be a part of that rescue mission, should I say, as, you know, he kind of repeated that. He just said, man, he was really shaken up, and the family was super thankful and everything like that. And from that moment on, like, that's it. You know, nobody's in the water ever again. You know, or, you know, that's impossible, really. But we just really have staffed a lot of more lifeguard situation to it now. But, you know, he said this. He goes, man, there's nothing more horrific than hearing somebody overwhelmed in water. 1 Timothy, right? Chapter 2 and verse 3. God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. Can I just say something about God? He is all about search and rescue. Like, he is all about, I mean, he is God, our Savior, right? The one who created all of us. He hears the cries of people all around the world and their cries for help. He hears them, and his heart is all about search and rescue. That's one of the incredible things I love about this book right here, is the Bible is a book that is filled with so many search and rescue stories. I mean, it doesn't matter where, from front to back, I'm talking, it's in there. I mean, you go to the beginning, I mean, you see that God searched out Noah, right? He searched out Noah and rescued him, rescued his family by way of the ark. Have you guys seen that Noah's ark that was built in Kentucky? Do you guys have that picture? Look at this thing. They did a complete replica, which is the dimensions of the Bible, of this ark in Kentucky. It was pretty amazing. I would love to go see that. It'd be cool. Kind of take a church trip down there, wouldn't it? It'd be really, really neat to see something like that. But you're talking God did this with Noah. He searched him out and rescued his family. I think about God through Moses, who, you know, was searched out and was rescued along with the Israelites from horrific slavery inside of Egypt. I think about Joshua, right, who was rescued repeatedly and militarily, even in the journey he and the Israelites took to get to the promised land. He had so many people trying to take him out and kill him and recapture the nation into slavery, but God searched them out and rescued them so they could get to the promised land. You have Elijah, who was rescued, man, by a pillar of fire facing 450 false prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and God sends this pillar of fire and rescues Elijah and shows this incredible, insane example of how awesome God is. And then you've got Elisha, right, who in 2 Kings was in Dothan, surrounded by the enemy. And what does God do? He sends chariots of fire into the middle of that moment and saves, rescues Elisha. Then you got my boy Jonah. God searched and rescued him from his own rebellion, even from the belly of a fish. And I'm talking no matter what page you arrive at, there is some kind of search and rescue happening where God finds himself inside of our circumstance, right? Sees us inside of our circumstance and hears the cries of help in the waters of their storm, and he throws a life ring out there, and he says, "Hey, I got you. Come on, grab onto it. Grab onto it, and let me pull you in the boat. Let me pull you into something that'll change it. Let me pull you into what life is all about. I got you." God is all about this. He's all about search and rescue. And the reason I say this with so much passion is, as a pastor, man, I see people. I mean, I watch y'all. You don't even know. I watch you. I don't. That sounds really weird to say that. I mean, but I just, anybody like to just people watch sometimes? You just like stare at people and you're like, what is that dude's story? You know, you just wonder. But as a pastor, I see so many people in this world who are in the waters of life, who are in the stormy waters of life, trying to do all they can just to stay afloat. Just to keep their head above water. Just trying to tread water, man. Just trying to make it, sucking down salt water, and their arms are heavy, and they're grabbing on to whatever flotation device they can just to keep their head above water, and whatever they grab on just isn't working, like money, you know, or status or relationships. So I can just find the right person. And these things, how many know these things aren't going to keep you afloat long haul? I mean, these might do the job just for a moment, but they're eventually going to lose air and lose the ability to sustain you in life's waters. Addiction, drugs, consumption, we just try and grab onto whatever we can to keep our lives afloat. And those things, without fail, those things that they were counting on to do the job, lose their air, and then before they know it, they're back to drowning. Now I want you to hear me. Hear this pasty, bald, white preacher here today, all right? When God, the entire time, stands at the edge of heaven over your circumstance, hearing your cries, and he does something about it. He's just not there to watch you. He's throwing out a lifeline saying, come on, grab on. I've got you. This right here is what's going to get you out of that and get you into what life is really all about. Come on, let me get you. Let me pull you in. He's all about search and rescue. Come on, some of you, how many of you remember the moment you finally grabbed onto the ring? How many remember the moment you grabbed onto the lifeline and said, I'm gonna do things your way, because I'm tired of trying to keep water out of my mouth and out of my life. I'm tired of drowning. I'm just tired and I can't do it. And you gave in and grabbed on and let God pull you in to what life is all about. How many remember the moment? For me, it was September 15th. 1993. I was a 15-year-old kid, overwhelmed, starting to allow myself to have addiction be embraced in my life, and drug and alcohol and promiscuity and getting involved in criminal activity and getting arrested and being messed up. And in that vein, I remember, because I didn't grow up in church, I never heard, but I remember the first time I heard the message about a Savior who came to earth to die for me, give his life for me. All I would need to do in return is give him my life, and he'll take me to the true definition of life. I remember in that moment, it was that night in a youth room in a church where I grabbed onto that ring, and I had God pull me into what life is all about. For my wife, she was 16 years old growing up in St. Charles. She was a church kid. Any church kids in the room? She was a church kid, y'all. She was in church Sunday morning. No, hold on. She was in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She was in church every time the doors were open, and admits that she didn't even know what a relationship with God was like, because to her, she said she thought it was all about religion. She thought life was just a set of rules and a set of routines that you had to do to please an angry God. But she said when she was 16 years old, she was sitting in one of those church services, and the preacher said from the platform, listen, this life is not about religion. It's about a relationship with God. It's not about anything you do for God. It's what God wants to do with you. Be in a relationship with Him. Come on. And she threw the lifeline out, and she grabbed onto it and let God pull her in to what life is all about. My sons are the same way. Preacher's kids. God, pray for preacher's kids. Poor boys and girl, don't feel sorry for her. She gets whatever she wants. But the boys, whew, right? They told me the same thing, because when you grow up in church, that's what you think God equals. And so she realized, and my boys realized that. They realized that at a youth camp. Thank God for youth camp. Thank God for Rise Camp. And they gave their hearts to God. And they said, it's about a relationship with Him. I know Him now. Man, it's powerful what happens when you grab on to the ring. God is all about search and rescue. The story of our worship pastor blows me away. I've told this story at least a dozen times, at least. And every time I tell it, it just blows me away. Because I love the story of what God can do when somebody just grabs on to the ring. No matter how bad your situation in the water is, it's awesome when they wrap their arm around it and say, take me in, Jesus. I'm tired of doing this myself. Our worship pastor, man, through the invitation of our youth pastor, which none of these guys were pastors then. These were just people that attended the church. And they knew of where he was at, because he was drowning in his own void. Tim Overstreet. Fresh off a divorce and had a call to do music ministry, but got hurt by a church. How many knows churches sometimes can create more hurt than they can healing? We got to be careful, church, that we aren't like that. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful what you say to people. Let me say that. Be careful how you say what you say to people. We are to be an extension of God's love, grace, and mercy. And so he's walking around with this hurt in his life and just misery in that moment. And he was invited to come to Journey Church when we were about 3 weeks old. And he said he would come. But again, this is a man who's drinking himself to sleep almost at times. And he says, yeah, I'll be there on Sunday. But doesn't come on Sunday morning. Why? Because what we find out afterwards was that he drank so much on Friday night that he passed out on Friday night and didn't wake up until Sunday afternoon. Now, let me tell you something. When I heard that, I did research on that in the field of medicine. And that right there is a miracle that he even woke up. Because you just don't go to bed on Friday night and wake up Sunday afternoon in his own fluids. Like this is a situation that is showing where he's at in the waters of life. And he wakes up miraculously, thankfully, and realizes in that moment, man, that things in his life, and that realization was something that had to unfold, but over time, realized this, what I'm doing is not working. And he came the next Sunday to a church, and I watched over time as the lifeline of God's ring was right there in his life, and I watched this man who used to come to this church and sit in the back row. Yeah, I see you back row people. I'm just kidding. Sit in the back row like this. Just hands in his pockets, not a smile on his face. You know I'm telling the truth, brother. And would just sit there and look just stone-faced. And we were, Journey Church, you think we celebrate you now? Like, we are excited to see every single person. We're like, hello. how are you? It's so good to see you. We were like cult excited back then. Like, because we're only running like 40 people. So we're just, any person that comes through, like, hey! You know, we're just so excited. Let me take you over here. Let me take you over here. You need to go to the bathroom? I'll go with you. You know what I'm saying? We're just like, man, back off. I remember my wife said, man, I remember talking to Tim in July of 2009. She met Missy's like, hey, how you doing, Tim? He's just like, back off, lady. You know, just like, psh, little blonde, psh, you know. But I watched this man grab on to the life ring that God had for him. And I watched God pull this man from where he was into where he is now. Every time I see him sing, every time I hear words come out of his mouth in prayer, every time I see him lead, every time I see God's calling on his life, I just thank God that he grabbed on the ring. And I look at where he went to the life that he has now, and I'm here to tell you, I am so honored to see what God can do when somebody grabs onto the ring. Let me tell you, somebody else that's really happy he grabbed onto that ring is that little lady right there in the middle. Because not only did God restore his life, he gave him a wife who we love. Ashley Overstreet is next level incredible. And it's just awesome to see this family and what God can do when you grab. I just want to tell our worship pastor and his family, we are so honored to have you part of leading our lives here at Journey Church. Thank you for grabbing on to the ring. Man, if you're in this place today, and maybe you're drowning right now in life's waters. And nothing you're trying is working. Like, the things you're trying, the things you're consuming are just doing nothing but making it worse. Because you think it's going to do it for a moment, but then it doesn't. You're trying to fill your life with so many things that might bring you fulfillment, that might make you feel full, that might make you feel like, man, this is my life's purpose, I got it now, but nothing is working. You've tried everything and everyone. You're even trying people. You're thinking that it's found in a relationship, but it's not working. Everything and everyone just keeps letting you down. Here's my advice to you today. Grab on to the ring before it's too late. Grab on to the ring. God is a God of search and rescue. You know, one of the craziest accounts in Scripture, in my opinion, is the insane account of Noah and the Great Flood. It's one of the craziest accounts in Scripture. I mean, because you got this guy, right, who builds a boat, and the word boat doesn't even do it justice. You saw the thing, 450 feet long. The arch is 600 feet. 75 feet tall, 45 foot wide, and God, you know, is directing the whole pattern of this, and Noah is able to be rescued from this impending judgment that God is sending to the earth because of what the Bible says is found in the wickedness inside of the heart of mankind. And then the judgment comes, and these insane rains come, the doors of the ark close, and this boat, again, the word boat doesn't even do it justice, this vessel begins to float. This vessel that took over 100 years for this man to build begins to float, where he and his family find safe passage in an unimaginable time of judgment. You know a question I always had when I would read that story? Like, it just bothered me. Was why just Noah? Like, really, was he the only one? Why just him? Because that's a lot of people to just see perish. Why just Noah? I often read the Bible very critically. And I think God's cool with that. He's not insecure about his word, because it's truth. So you start finding the reasons for it. And, you know, I just keep reading it with that question. But, you know, the more I read it, the more I think that the ark, I don't think it was meant to be called Noah's Ark. I don't think the ark was built just for Noah, his family, and some animals. And the reason I say that is Noah, right, is a guy that we see in Scripture, and Scripture says things about him. First thing we see is two different things, is he's a godly man. This is a man who, I mean, you see in Genesis 6, you can really bust out some great detail on Noah. As you see Noah, he's this godly man. He's a man that woke up every day. He's like, God, I give you my heart. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to live how you want me to live. I mean, I'm here to live with you. I'm here to live for you. God, I just want to be a blessing. He's a godly man. Didn't let the distractions of the world take him away from his relationship with God. Incredible guy. Godly man, a family man. This man had an insanely close, intimate connection with his wife and his kids. This is a family man for sure. We know this for sure about Noah in Genesis 6. But Genesis 6 isn't the only details about Noah, because you also got 2 Peter. And 2 Peter talks about Noah, and it's very interesting. 2 Peter says that Noah was also a preacher. I don't know if you knew this or not. A preacher. And I dug into what that word meant, and I dug into Noah even more. And by preacher, the scriptures are saying that Noah was regularly found proclaiming God's word and ways to his world. This was a man who just went and verbally proclaimed the ways of God and proclaimed the word of God to the world. Now, what on earth would Noah be saying if he's building an ark? You see, knowing that Noah was a preacher, someone who publicly proclaimed God's truth to the people of his day, and given his godly character, one can easily assume that Noah preached about the approaching flood and the need to repent before it happens. And that would have been in sync with God's character. Since God, and you see this in the Bible, God always, everybody say always. God always gives opportunity for repentance before impending judgment. Always. Always provides a way of escape before judgment. You see that everywhere. So, if Noah did warn the world, and I would bet everything that he did, the world then obviously chose to ignore his warnings. Because the Bible teaches that the world was taken by surprise when the flood came. And the fact that the world was caught off guard by the flood tells me that the world paid no attention to this preacher and paid no attention to his warning. And then we see the results that followed. Now, what a situation to be in. And this wasn't just an issue that existed then in Noah's time with people ignoring God's messenger and ignoring God's message of warning. Because, I mean, throughout history, people have ignored God's messengers, have ignored the message of God's coming judgment and what they need to do to escape it. And people ignore it, and yet they are always somehow caught off guard by the judgment that follows. Always. The entire history of the nation of Israel testifies to this truth. When a ring is floating right out there in the middle of their waters, and God's just saying, you want to escape it, just grab on, do this, and bad things won't happen, come on. And they ignore it. But back to the story of Noah, you know, what was it like for him on that boat after it started to float? I don't believe that it was all peaches. I don't believe that it was all sunshine. I don't believe it was that fun at all. I believe it was a nightmare. And you want to know why I say that? Because the real nightmare for Noah, who I imagined, again, to be a really good dude, like a real caring dude, a preacher who cared for people, while on that boat, the reason I say it had to have been a nightmare for this man was because while on that boat, through the sounds of the storm, through the sounds of the rain, the real nightmare had to have been hearing the desperate cries of people in the water. I mean, the desperate cries. Just let me in. People clawing at this vessel just to get on board. And then the waters subside and he gets off. And I have to imagine Noah looks back at this vessel that, yes, saved him and his family. But I believe he was seeing scratch marks and claw marks on the side of that boat. And I think that messed him up. Because if you look at Scripture, this was a lot for him to process. Because, again, he was a caring person. I don't know if you know this, but Scripture records right after the flood, Noah so drunk that he's found naked right there on his stomach. Just immediately having a drinking problem. Just it really gives a window into his mental struggle on how to process everything that just happened. Could I have done more? Could I have done better? Could I have said something better just to get people on board? People who just wanted in after the doors were closed. Let me bring this home today. This life that you live has an ending to it. There will be a moment where you will not have the opportunity to inhale again. Life is short. I don't care your age. Life is but a vapor in the context of time. And I'm just talking to just us as an individual. Let's talk about the world. Let's talk about Earth. There's a door-closing moment to this world that we live in. You want to know how I know that? To this universe that we live in. To time as we know it, there will be an ending. And the reason we say that is because this says that. Jesus says that there will be another reset in history. Which, that's what the flood was. It was a reset. There was such wickedness in the heart of man. God did a reset. And the Bible says another one is coming. Not out of the mouth of Noah, not out of the writings of Moses, but right out of the mouth of Jesus himself. And you find that in Matthew 24. When Jesus says that the chapters of this world will come to an end. And a new one will begin. And when that is, nobody knows. Isn't that crazy? Nobody knows when it's going to happen or when exactly it will happen. Matthew 24, Jesus says this, but of that day and hour, talking of the actual moment it happens, when time ends, when he comes back to reset time and bring the world as we know it to an end, he says, of that day or hour, knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven. And look at the knowledge they're privy to. Only, Jesus says, my Father knows when this moment will happen. And what's very interesting is Jesus says in the very next verse, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they, talking of the world, were eating and drinking. What does that mean? Just giving into consumerism, life fulfillment is found in consumerism. Just whatever I can feed me, whatever I can do to make me feel. This is my life, my way. It's about my appetite. Life was all about them. And it says that they were marrying and giving in marriage. This isn't to slam marriage. Marriage is created by God. It's a wonderful thing. Be thankful of the one that God has put next to you. If you have that opportunity to be next to that someone, be thankful. But what they're trying to say is, that's not going to be the thing that fulfills your whole life. People will let you, and when that becomes everything about life, this is how these people define life then, and all that mattered in life. This is what they were doing before the flood of Noah. This is what people are doing here today in this world. And it goes on to say, until the day Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came, and this is the worst part of this verse, and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Here's my question to you. Before this happens, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Are you one of those that are on the boat, or are you one of those in the water? Will you be ready? Here's my question to you. Will you grab onto the lifeline? Come on, I'm talking about your life right now. Will you grab on to the lifeline that God has before this world comes to an end, before your life even comes to an end? Will you grab on to the lifeline that God has thrown into the waters of your life, saying, just grab on to it. I got you, and let me pull you in to what life is all about. Will you be ready? Because I'm here to tell you. So for 1 Timothy 2:3, right? We just read at the beginning of this service. God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. I'm telling you, y'all better get here next week. And y'all better bring somebody next week, because I am preaching a message on the cross of Jesus Christ in a way that I have never done before. And we have preached some messages on the cross. We're going to have an illustrated message here with a whipping post. It is going to be an insane talk. And it's just all about the cross. But you know what I see when I see the cross? You want to know what I see? More than those two lines that intersect, here's what I see when I see the cross. This right here. That was the day, which we're getting ready to celebrate on Good Friday here in just a few weeks. That was the day that heaven threw earth a lifeline and said, here is my Son. Grab on to him and let him pull you in to what life is all about. And it was on that day, on that cross in Luke 23, where he says a statement. He says, Father, oh, y'all better be happy he made this statement. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, meaning even in their ignorance. They don't even know that they're water. They don't even know that they're drowning where they're at. Just forgive them anyway. Give them an opportunity to grab onto me. And the forgiveness of Christ has been unveiled for all men to be saved. All you got to do to be saved, you ready for this? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Here it is. Watch this. Right? First Timothy, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. Ready? Watch this. If you, talking about you, declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You might see another translation that says confess. It just means say it. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, watch this, you will be saved. Do y'all want to know what the definition of grabbing onto this lifeline is? You got to say it and you got to believe it in your heart. And when you do that very act, when you have that moment, your life is grabbing onto the ring of God's mercy and God's love and God's grace. And he's pulling you in from your life's troubled waters and pulling you on the boat of eternity and pulling you onto the boat of heaven's shores. And he's pulling you into a life that you never thought would be so wonderful and beautiful. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. And he sent him from heaven to earth to die and raise again for you. You will be saved. When you make what Jesus did for you personal, you find your life around God's ring. I want to ask you a question, and when I ask you this question, I want every head bowed in this room right now and every eyes closed, please, I just want you just to do me this honor in this moment, and just out of respect for the moment, because there are people in here that you don't have your arms around the ring. You are drowning, friend. You're drowning in your life's waters. You have allowed sin to come in and separate you. Did you know that's the nature of sin? It's just a separator. It separates, it divides, it takes us away from God. And you're trying to do everything you can to stay afloat. Hear me right now, because I'm talking to you. There's a ring floating right there that has been thrown from the edges of heaven to your life. And that ring is a relationship with Jesus. He's inviting you. The question is, will you accept that invitation?
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on the website, www.journeychurchmo.com.